Let's talk about the Word today. We've all come to hear the Word, amen? I am going to teach you along a line that many of you have heard before, and so for you maybe that have heard the passages of Scripture that we're reading, I will ask you to, if all possible, maybe just put yourself in neutral and look at the Word of God again afresh. For you maybe that are unfamiliar, I believe if you'll listen and do what the Bible says, which says to all of us, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you will position yourself to really hear what God is saying, this message will be a foundation and a groundbreaking truth that you will be able to apply in every season and every area of your life, and it will ensure victory in your life. We'll talk about six specific points that the Apostle Paul writes to a church in the book. We've got it in the book called Ephesus, or the city of Ephesus, in the book called Ephesians. And he tells them six specific things that if they engage, impart, if they enact in their life, it will always cause them to be positioned to win against any demonic attack. And if you're in the room and you say, I don't know if I believe all that stuff, I don't believe in good and evil, I don't believe in God and the devil, I don't believe in light and darkness, well, just hang on, put your car in neutral, and just kind of let the force of the Peloton, the bikes, just kind of push you down the road a little bit, where maybe you get insight to what's really happening all around us, that it's not just man-based. Man deciding. It's not just the what's happening, you know, and maybe crazy terrorist things or what's going on in the government or decisions that's made and how come that's always that way, that there is something behind a man or a woman, behind a government, something behind a plot or a strategy or a thought process that will say there really must be something to this realm out there somewhere that we need to be aware of that are affecting decisions that men and women make every single day. I want to read several scriptures from an Old Testament book called Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a normal guy, had a normal job, had a good job, had a cush job, if you will. He was the king's cupbearer. He would take a slice of the filet mignon or the carne asada, come on somebody, and he would just eat it and he would drink the wine or he'd drink the juice to make sure it wasn't poison. That was his job. But then a time came when his hometown, Jerusalem, had been ransacked, overthrown, the walls were broken down, the gates were burned with fire. He hears the news of it and God drops in his heart to do something about it. And so he goes back to Jerusalem and he starts gathering people together and he sees what's going on and he starts the rebuilding process, much like what we would say for all of us in the room, our life is all about rebuilding ourselves into the image and the likeness of God, doing the will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God. But how many know whenever you set yourself up to be a builder for God and His kingdom, there's always going to be an attack from the enemy. So listen to me, you got to get up every single day and say, I'm putting on the gloves and I'm getting ready to fight today. And we're going to find out our fight's not a natural fight. Our fight's not a fight against any specific person or any other group. It's not white against Hispanic or Mexican against, well, you know, black people. Or no natural fight, which again is a spirit behind everything going on. We're going to find that we can stand and we can win, and we can have victory. Nehemiah 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. So it happened when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria, and he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete the wall? In a day, will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he'll break down their stone wall. Nehemiah says, hear, O God, for we're despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads, and give them as a plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they've provoked you to anger before the builders.
So we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Come on, can you say that with me? For the people had a mind to work. Come on, one more time. For the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Come on, say day and night. When Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. There's so much rubbish, we're not able to build the wall. All of our adversaries said, they'll neither know nor see anything till we come in their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. And so it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, 10 times, 10 separate times they came. From whatever place you turn, they'll be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and arose, and I said to the nobles and the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Come on, how many know this is good news right here? Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. If you do not fight your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses, your direction, your country, the purpose of God will fall. And it happened, verse 15, when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing. God had brought their plot to nothing. God had brought their plot to nothing. That all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held spears, shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall, those who carried burdens, loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. Every one of the builders, every Christian, every believer, as they build their life, must have a sword girded at their side. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive. And we're separated far from one another on the wall. Whenever, he says, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored in the work. Half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. Ephesians 3:10 says this, to the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities, the powers in heavenly places. But we find out that God had talked to Nehemiah that, and we'll look at Ephesians 6 in a moment, that he was going to build the wall. And Nehemiah, I'm convinced, was unaware of the opposition that was going to happen in his life. And yet, this man that was a normal man, just like everybody in the room, man or a woman, a normal man, had a normal job, but God called him to do something very significant, not only for just his life, but also for the life of a city, for the life of people he really was distant from. And it's so true today that what God wants to do and what God is always positioning us for is more than just for something for ourselves, sacrificing that we do just for ourselves. It's what God wants to do for future generations and for future people. And so he tells them and gives them a plan as they build the wall that makes sure that when you see what's going on, that you position men, that they've got a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other hand. And make sure, I love what he says here, Nehemiah has got wisdom from God. And he says, make sure that when you go to fight, that you position the men right in front of the houses in which they live. Because if you're ever going to fight for anything, it's going to be when it comes to your front door. The wickedness that goes on in the world, hear me, is trying to come to America. And will you stand and will you fight? Again, not against anybody, but against what's going on behind the people that are saying and doing what they're doing. And we'll find out from Scripture that we need to be positioned for that. God speaks specifically to Nehemiah, and the armor, the weapons, and the tools that he gave him were from the physical opponents of the man named Sanballat, and another man, Tobiah, and the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites. And if you read chapter 6 of that book, Nehemiah, there's a prophetess named Noadiah, and it lists other prophets that would come, and they were constantly coming, speaking words to barrage the people, to get them to put down their weapons, quit building their life, quit building the city, quit building the wall, quit repairing the breach, just let us all get along, let's all just kind of be normal, and you'll be the way you are, and we'll just all kind of be together. And God says, no, I've called you to be different, I've called you to be salt, and to be light, and to make a difference in the community you live in, and to be different everywhere you go, and you're going to have to stand up and fight, and keep out what needs to be out, and keep in what needs to be in. But there's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. And you've got to know how to fight. And again, we'll look from the Word. We're not fighting against anybody. We're fighting against what is motivating the buddies. Ephesians 6. Come on, everybody. Let's go there. Ephesians 6. We had a good time in the first service. We'll believe that we get it all out for y'all today. Ephesians 6. Let's start in verse 10. Let's read it. Finally, my brethren, what it actually means there is, since we're in the flesh and blood, bone body on the earth, challenges are going to be coming to us, is what he's saying. Finally, you know, this is going to happen. But he tells us, since this is real, since we're going to be challenged, since there's going to be all kinds of things that come against you, he says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. There's something about a man or a woman that decides, I'm tired of being pushed around. I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of being emotionally charged up every time something goes on. I'm tired of the enemy bullying me. It's huge in our culture now about bullying. It's everywhere. We brought in, you know, John Pritikin, big muscle guy, to go into the schools to talk about anti-bullying because it's huge. And, you know, back growing up, I don't know if we called it bullying. We just called it growing up. Come on, somebody. We called it just growing up. But now, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying is that it just seems like the devil huffs and puffs and he bristles up his chest. And it's like, okay, I just won't take territory. I just won't do what God's called me to do. I'll just succumb to it. And it's not physical opponents per se. It's not someone like that. But so many of us hear words. We hear words and there's motives and there's attitudes and we don't feel good. And there's all kinds of things the enemy uses to get us to back down. Paul says here, brethren, you're going to have to realize that your strength is in the Lord, and you're going to have to understand about the power of his might. The Amplified Bible says amazing. Notice what it says. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered, notice, through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might supplies. In other words, this scripture is actually telling us in the original language to be strong in the Lord and in the dominion of his ability. Be strong in the Lord and in the dominion of his ability. His ability dominates every other kind of ability. So God is telling us, Paul is telling us why he's writing this letter, you be strong in that. Don't be strong in yourself. Don't be strong in your education. Don't be strong in your race. Don't be strong in what you've accomplished. Be strong in the Lord. Come on, tell your neighbor that, will you? Tell your neighbor, be strong in the Lord. Come on. Just go ahead and be strong in the Lord. His ability, his dominion and rule over any scheme or strategy of the devil will succeed. He has ability. He has dominion. Listen to me. The devil has never been a threat to God. I don't care what Hollywood shows, and I don't care good and evil. It's kind of like this tug of war. And listen, when Jesus was raised from the dead, the devil was completely, utterly defeated. He has no authority in your life. He has no power in your life. He has no control in the life of a believer once they know who they are in Christ. Can you say amen? It's what the scripture says. So your days of getting pushed around are over. If you'll do what it says about putting on this armor that God's going to show us about. Your days of building your life like Nehemiah and having the enemy come up and constantly taunt you where you go, gosh, you know, you're right. And we just put down our weapons and we let him run ransack. Your days of your life are just kind of up and down and in and out and floating kind of like the tide coming off. Those days are over. You will have constant victory regardless of what it looks like. Regardless of the challenge, if you'll just do what the Apostle Paul is telling us and telling this church to do. We don't have to give in to weakness. We don't have to give in to fear. We don't have to give in to lies. We don't have to give in to thoughts. We don't have to give in to suggestions from the devil. We do not have to. And that's the tactic he uses. That's the tactic. We'll find out that even though we're natural, even though we're here on this earth, even though that we're walking in a flesh and bone body, a natural blood body, that God has given us spiritual weapons to combat all the tactics of the enemy. He is a defeated foe, but how many know he likes to fight himself? And he doesn't fight fair. He'll fight and he'll try to pin you in a cord and he'll try to get you thinking about stuff and he'll try to play that DVD in your brain and he'll try to bring friends around like Sanballat and Tobiah. Hey, what are you doing? Everybody doing And why is it? No. They died and you're dying too. And what do you mean you're going to try to fight for your marriage? Come on. Divorce is just what everybody does. 50% of people get married, get divorced. You're in the same line. And you're fighting for it. And yet God and the devil brings demonic voices into your life to try to shake you off your building process. You're going to have to learn and know how to stand. Ephesians 6:11. Notice what it says. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. One translation says this: the strategies, the schemes, the plots, the devices of the devil. The devil has strategies, schemes, plots, and devices. So he tells us, you, me, everybody that's a Christian, a believer, has to put on the armor of God. You got to put on what God has given you. Now, I'm not the guy. There was an instructor while we were in Bible school, 30 plus years ago. And he said, every day his thing, his kind of revelation, his deal that God gave him is, something for him personally, was that every day he would read Ephesians chapter 6. And he said, you need to put this armor on. And so he'd go through it with us as, students, and that's cool. And I'm not against that. If that's what you've got to do, I'm not against it. But you do need to be aware of it. And you need to be conscious of it. And there are times you need to revisit this if something crazy is going on in your life, which is pretty much happening all the time, right? You're always being challenged in some area, all of us. And so just like you get dressed every day, you need to be challenged and you need to be conscious of your spiritual wardrobe. Your spiritual wardrobe. Now, we've got 4 kids, and when they were small, Kimberly was an amazing mom, still is an amazing mom. And she would, when the kids were old enough, she would set out their clothes in the morning, right, and say, okay, we've had the bath or whatever, and you're of the age that now you can start dressing yourself, right? And you want to learn, you want to show them how. Now we've showed you how to put your socks on and your shirt on. And how many know when little kids start dressing, they don't get it all right? Come on, somebody. They got the shirt on backwards, got the pants on wrong, trying to zip up that, and so they need some help. And so when we come back to the Word of God, we need to just realize if something's not working in our life, we need to be man and woman enough to just say, I need some help. I just need some help. So, God will just work with you till you get it. Come on, He is a very good God. He'll just keep working with you till you get it. And he'll keep bringing voices into your life. He'll keep bringing the Word of God to you that we can be able to put on the whole armor of God. God gives it to us individually to put on the whole armor of God so you can have the ability to stand against whatever is coming against you. And he tells us specifically what's coming against you. Strategies, schemes, methods, plots, devices, wiles of the devil. All kinds of things that come to a believer, come to a non-believer, come to everybody on the earth. And listen, I don't believe anybody wakes up one day and says, listen to me, pardon me, that I'm going to commit suicide. I don't think it happens one day. But here's what I do know. Wind back the clock. I had a cousin that committed suicide. 19, committed suicide. What happened? Wind back the clock. Thought, idea, strategy, scheme began working in him years earlier. Years earlier. Grew, and it grew, and it mushroomed, and it mushroomed. Until one day, at a certain point, at a certain time of life, 19, all your life to live for. And the devil, with a scheme, with a plot, with a method, with a strategy, with a wile, deceitfulness comes in and says, take your life. So he goes downstairs in the basement one day and hangs up a rope and hangs himself. And his parents come down and see him. Tragic. Happens all the time. Happens maybe not that graphic. Happens all the time. How? That's on one side of it. But you can be here this morning just like me, alive, breathing, in good health. And yet right now, the possibility of you believing a lie, a scheme, a strategy, a method, a deceit of the devil could be working in you and affecting you right now. Let's do something about it. Let's put on the armor of God. Amen. Come on, somebody. Can you say amen? Yeah. Yeah. Not going to go to battle without some armor. Come on, military men, women, not going to battle without some armor, right? Come on, not going to be a foxhole going, anybody see my gun? Where'd my helmet go? Where's my Kevlar? Oh, I left it back at Oceanside, now I'm in Iraq. Anybody got any boots? And yet, we laugh at that because it's laughable. But yet, how many of us go through life and don't put on the armor of God? Notice again. Put on the whole. Oh, say, put on the whole armor of God. Notice that you may be able. Come on, say that. That you may be able. That you may be able. That you may be able. So if you don't do what he tells us to do, you and I are not going to be able to do the rest. We're not strong in the Lord. And so come on, how are you going to get strong in the Lord? Come on, you're going to have to read the Word, right? You have to hear the Word. You have to act on the Word, right? I wish I could get strong. I wish I could get strong in the gym. You know, Renee's down here. Renee's like, he's posing. Like, wow, he's posing. I follow him on Facebook, and he's always posting. I'm in the gym. It's leg day. My legs are burning. Hey, my arms are burning. It's bicep day. I can't. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get that keister in shape. Come on, somebody. He just got married. He's trying to get in better shape. Come on, somebody. All right? How are you going to get strong? How are you going to get strong? How are you going to get strong in your marriage? How are you going to get strong in your marriage? Date your wife. Date your husband. Talk words, Ephesians 5. Bless each other with the Word of God. Come on, somebody. Speak words over them. How are you going to get strong physically? Act on the Word. Go to the gym. Exercise. How are you going to be strong in the Lord? Read the Word. Pray the Word. Hang around some folks moving in the same direction. Come on. Right? To stand against the wiles of the devil. So this tells us there is a devil and there are demons alive on this planet. To stand against, you're going to have to know that. Their advancement, again, can be resisted. That's what it tells us, right? Now, their arena and the level of the warfare is in the mind and the thought realm. That's what we're seeing. It's in the mind and the thought realm. So notice on the screen. Every thought and suggestion, every dream and vision, every ambition or goal must be filtered through the purpose of the Word of God, purpose, the purpose of God, the Word of God, and the will of God. So just because you got a goal doesn't mean it lines up with the goal that God has. Just because you got a word and a suggestion of what I think I should do or what's going on in my life doesn't mean it lines up with the will of God. It must be filtered through that. You must be strong in the Lord so you can stand against, and you must put on the whole armor of God. It's a scripture in the Old Testament. Don't want to take time to read it, but there was a king, and he actually got killed even though he had armor on, because there was a gap in his armor and an arrow went in where the gap was. Can I tell you, I don't believe we need to be having any gaps. So we need to put on the entire, complete armor of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 11. Notice again what it says in the Amplified. Draw your attention to the screen. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength with which His boundless might supplies or provides. Notice, He provides it. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all, come on somebody, all the strategies and deceits of the devil. God desires you as a believer to be successful in your life as a Christian. And He's given you now the Word of God, the armor of God. He's given you a church. He's given you people of God to cause you to stand. But for you individually, you and I have a part to play. I can't put on your armor. You can't put on my armor. I can't take up your armor. You can't take up my armor. This is something we all must individually do. So it would behoove you to know, and I to know, what this is all about and how to do that. It would behoove us, whatever that really means, come on, teachers, help me, to teach our kids. It just sounded real good right about them. To teach our kids on how you need to put up your armor. When we were small, at Halloween time, we never let our kids dress up as spooky stuff. Come on, somebody. But we always had, come on, we were maybe a little bit overboard. They would always dress up like Bible characters. Come on, the Christian parents say amen. Come on. Come on. And one of the things we got for our little kids, we got little plastic armor of God. And so there was a little sword and there was a little thing, shield, and it was real cute until they, you know, anyway. Yeah. But we need to know how to do that. We need to know how to put that on even as adults. So let's look at this, what it starts telling us to do, again, based on this scripture. That our spiritual strength and power comes from our union with Jesus. That you have unlimited power, it tells us, over the enemy because of our union with Christ. Our armor is supplied by God. I love this because God doesn't even say, hey, go out and try to dig up some armor. Go try to make a way. No. Just like our military men and women, when you join the service, guess what they said? Here are your clothes. Here are your boots. Here is your gun. We have many men and women in here that different things that they were doing. I'm sure a different type of rifle or some kind of device was given to them for a certain type of warfare they needed. Here's all the supply. Here's your helmet. Here's the tools you need to be a success at what we're asking you to be. They didn't say bring your own stuff. So God says, here, I'm giving this to you, but now you must take it up. You must put it on. You can successfully, the scripture tells us, stand up to all demonic force. All demonic force. And we'll talk about that right now. Because He tells us in verse 12, this fourfold demonic realm. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Oh, that's bad stuff. I don't want to think about it. Well, baby, you better think about it. Because ISIS is coming. They's here. Oh, I don't want to think about it. No, you better have your mind engaged. And so this demonic realm was real. We don't need to be feared. But you need to understand how to stand against. We do not wrestle. Come on, let's read it out loud. Verse 12. Come on. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place. Notice on the screen, the attack isn't from man, but from the demonic realm using man. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle, right? We do wrestle. So the levels of demonic opposition must be thwarted from a person on the earth. Notice, we can't find where God says, I'm going to do this for you. No, God says, I've caused you to stand. I've caused you to have weapons. I've caused you now to be strong in me. I've told you now to put up the whole armor, take up the whole armor. I've told you to put on the armor. I'm not going to cause the enemy to be pushed back from your life. You must now be armed in the armor I give you and use the authority I've given you in the name of Jesus, and the enemy must bow his knee. We're not fighting a flesh and blood battle. We're not fighting anybody. Not fighting the government. Not fighting. We're fighting the spirit behind it. The motivating spirit. The real issue, and these are real unseen spirit beings who have real unseen power in the world concerning people that have opened themselves up and are desirous of not living in line with the Word of God. Ephesians 6:13 says, now again, take up the whole armor of God. Take it up, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There's an evil day. Everybody in this room, you've had many evil days that have come into your life. Days you didn't ask for, pray for, plan for, want. The people that I find that keep moving forward, even as we've just looked at during our circles, and you need to join a circle. Get in a circle. Phenomenal stuff. Come on, get in a circle. We just listened to a book. We read a book and watched DVD teaching on storms. Storms come to life, everybody. Storms come. What do you do when an evil storm comes? You stand, you believe God, you just keep moving and rowing through the midst of the storm. Because they're going to come. A day of evil is coming. It always happens. You know, you have to know how to stand against and stand in the middle of an evil day. He says, take up the whole armor of God. Take it up, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. To stand. Notice on the screen, the armor of God doesn't mean you're working and fighting for victory, but you are now standing and praying, armed, enforcing the victory of Jesus. A huge difference. I'm just trying to get it. The devil's everywhere, and I'm just trying to beat him. I'm just trying to whoop him up. No, Jesus already whooped him. The Bible says he's a defeated foe. Jesus is the head, Ephesians 1. We're in the body. We are the body of Christ. Where the head goes, come on somebody, the body goes, right? So he says now, the devil is under your feet. That's his position, under your feet. But how many know, just like a snake and a serpent, he wants to try to get out from under your feet. And you must keep him under. How are you going to keep him under? Part of it is using our authority, or really all of it is using our authority. But Paul then gives us six specific things that we must enact in our life right here to enforce the victory. Because listen to me, Jesus isn't going to defeat the devil again. He's already defeated. And you now must understand who you are in Christ and position yourself to walk in God's victory. Amen? Amen. So notice what he tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 14 through 17. He tells us this sixfold application of the armor of God, and then now how we can work it in our life. Stand therefore, verse 14, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Specific. There you go. That word. The S word. Specific. Six of those that if you work in your life, that's my only weakness. I can't. No, I'm kidding now. Those, if you work this in your life, you will be able to withstand and stand against. Come on, everybody. Pretty good news, huh? But now, what do we got to do? We got to take it up. And we have to put it on. It's all laid out. It's provided for you. So let's do that. Let's find out what it means. Number one, waist girded with truth. Listen, I got to read you some stuff here. Waist girded with truth. The Roman soldier always wore a tunic, an outer garment that served as his primary clothing. It was usually made of a large square piece of material that had holes cut in for his head and his arms. Before a battle, it was carefully cinched up and tucked into a heavy leather belt that girded the soldier's loins. The ordinary citizen of the Near East had a similar problem with his robe. When he was in a hurry or a heavy load or heavy workload to do, he either took off the robe or tucked it in around his waist. As God prepared the children of Israel to eat the Passover meal before they left Egypt, he instructed Moses to tell them, "Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, with your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste," says that in Exodus 12. Concerning his second coming, Jesus tells us to be dressed in readiness in Luke 12:35, which is literally, "have your loins girded." Paul used the same expression when he said, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind for action. Keep sober in spirit," 1 Peter 1:13. Girding the loins was a mark of preparedness. Paul warned the church at Ephesus that they didn't want them to be carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, craftiness and deceitful scheming. In other words, we would say plots and schemes and methods and wiles and devices of the devil. Paul warns Timothy that the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking words coming, innuendos coming, feelings coming. These false schemes of Satan can be successfully encountered only with the truth of the Word of God. To be girded with truth shows an attitude of readiness and of genuine commitment. It's the mark of a sincere believer who forsakes all hypocrisy. Can I just say it plain? In 2015, we'd say it like this: "I ain't playing church. I'm not playing. This isn't a game to me. This isn't a crutch to me. This isn't something where I'm just kind of like hoping, just kind of getting in. This isn't a networking scheme for me. This is life and this is death. This is what really matters, whether I'm going to be successful as a man, as a woman, as a teenager, as a young adult, to fulfill the purpose and the call of God in my life. Whether I realize that I'm in a battle and I'm in a fight and there's a real enemy out there and he's got strategies and he's got spheres of influence over nations, over kingdoms, over governments, over presidents and senators and whoever else opens themselves up to his voice. He's got authority and realm in that sphere. But I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe God and I'm going to put on my armor and I'm going to resist every attack." And God says, "You're going to win then. You're going to win. You're going to win. Makes no difference what's going on around you. But you're going to have to be, number one, girded, your loins girded with the truth." Jesus is called the truth, the Scripture says. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. The Word is called the truth. So listen to me. Listen to me. Let me just tell you the truth around here today. If you're not committed to the truth of the Word of God, you will not succeed. I'm your friend. Listen, I love you, but I don't care if you've been in it for 50 years. If somehow you say, "I know it and I believe it, but it's not alive and real and working in you, and somehow it's been complacency and kind of like the coasting's gone on," you are being lulled to sleep by your enemy. And can I tell you something about the enemy? He has been studying humankind for 6,000 years. He can wait you out. He loves to wait people out. And like Shark Week on Discovery, he'll come from the depths. Come on, somebody. And he'll eat you like an unsuspecting seal. And he will breach with you in his mouth. Whew, come on, somebody say Shark Week. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Shark Week! Waist girded with truth. Come on. Second part of our armor. Come on, somebody. Breastplate of righteousness. Say that. Breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness refers to the righteousness purchased by us and for us by Jesus at the cross. Not talking about any kind of self-righteousness. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, you need to know this. He says, for him, he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a great scripture. You need to memorize that. Keep that, meditate that. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for you, so that now you could become something you could never become by yourself, the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus was and forever will be your sin substitute. At salvation, every sinner who repents gets this gift of righteousness. Wow. Didn't earn it. Didn't deserve it. It's a free gift. And Paul says, put on as a breastplate. Put on as your Kevlar. I am right with God. Not based on my own righteousness, but simply based on Jesus took my sin. He was my sin substitute. He went to the cross. He took my sin there with him, and he gave me his right standing with the Father. So now I can stand before the Father like I've never sinned. I can come boldly to the throne room of grace and obtain grace and mercy to help in time of need, not because I'm good, not because I deserve it, but because of Jesus. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. I got a right to be with God. I got a right for God to work for me. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. He loves Jesus. Isaiah 64, look real quick. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Our own righteous acts are no match for Satan's attacks. Our own righteous acts are no match for Satan's attacks. False righteousness, look on the screen, leads to legalism or condemnation. False righteousness. False righteousness says this, leads to legalism. It's where we say, well, God, you know, I come to church all the time, so this has got to happen. And God, I work down the nursery, so this has got to happen. And God says, no, you can't defeat the enemy that way. Or condemned. And going through life where it's like you're always under. And I deserve this now because, you know, this has happened in my life. And like a free pass. And God says, no. There's no free passes. Your breast around the center of your being, your heart protecting who you really are. You need to realize you're only right with God because of Jesus Christ. So you got to see yourselves in Christ. And that regardless of your failures, his righteousness has now been credited to your account. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Third weapon he gives us is our shoes, clothed with the gospel of peace. We've talked about several of these before, but notice again, it's a weapon. Peace is a weapon. It's amazing. Peace is a weapon. Crazy. Sometimes we don't think that way, but peace is a weapon. Here's what he's saying from Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, you have peace with God through the person, Jesus Christ. Justified just simply means, it's a real big word, or pervious, kind of big word. It means just as if I'd. Justification, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. We are just before God as if I never sinned. How? By Jesus. By Jesus. So now he says, make sure that where you're standing, make sure everywhere you go through life, that are over your feet, and a Roman centurion or a Roman soldier, their feet were very important. They would actually take pottery things and take like nails, and they would spike them through their shoes so they could have strength to stand, no matter if they were climbing up hills and other things, other terrain, so they could fight and do warfare. Where you go, your feet are very important. And so he says, wherever you go in your foundation, make sure that your feet are clothed with the gospel of peace. Meaning, I've got peace with God. There's nothing wrong between me and God. God's not mad at me. He's not angry with me. I don't come in a room and he looks the other way. He is welcoming. He is generous. He loves to see me. He loves to see me. When
Tony and Brittany started dating, and before they were married, and Isabella, Tony's daughter, would come over, and she's 7 now, and so we've been knowing her for, you know, 3.5 years, and it's morphed, it's grown, it's changed to be this way, that I love playing pranks. I love having a good time. I'm always laughing, because if you don't laugh, I think you're going to lose your mind. Come on, somebody. I always like to laugh, and I always like to have a good time and make fun, and that generally, making fun involves somebody else. Come on. And so Isabella would come in, and she'd say, you know, oh, where's G-Pop? I said, where's G-Pop? And Brittany or Tony would kind of go, you know, and I'd be hiding, right? I'm hiding because I want to try to scare her. Come on, like a good grandparent, right? And so she's looking for me. And then now, guess what she does for me? When I come in the room, she hears me open the garage, and she's in the house. She hides on me. And I think that sometimes we think that God's hiding on us. Let me tell you what. Your feet clothed with peace, that you have assurance in your heart that you know I'm right with God, that God loves me and His purpose is for me. Can you say amen? Don't act, can I say it this way? And forgive me for this illustration ahead of time. Don't act like a stepchild Christian. So many times we hear stories of stepchildren that are never treated quite the same as a real child. Don't go through life thinking, somehow, I must have done something wrong that God's blessings aren't for me. I must have done something wrong that I can't be right with God. It must be for that person. They must be doing something really good. Can I tell you, you're only right with God because of Jesus Christ, and that gift is available for everybody. So come on, put some peace on your shoes. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. 3 more real quick. Shield of faith. Number 4, shield of faith. It's a weapon. Shield of faith. The shield of faith means saving faith. It means belief and confidence and trust in who God is. And who God is. The shield is interesting. This Roman shield was about 2.5 by 2.5 feet. Not very big. Not very big. It's not one of these shields that would, you know, I'm 6'2", that would cover your whole body and you'll get by. No, no, no. It's a small shield that they'd be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. They could move it with ease. And so God is trying to tell you and I that your faith in God will stop every missile from God. That you have faith in God, that you are who you said you were. You're a great God. You're a glorious God. You're a reliable God. You're a dependable God. You're a trustworthy God. And so I have belief and confidence. If you said it in your word, that's exactly who you are to me. I believe God. I believe God. Come on. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Can you say that with me? Have faith in God. So come on, take your shield of faith. It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Don't put it down. Don't put it down. It says number 5, take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. It's a great word. It's a rich word in the Greek. It's sozo, S-O-C-O. It actually means healing, safety, preservation, health, soundness of mind, deliverance. So he says, make sure over your helmet, make sure on your head you've got this helmet, that you're going to be able to, no matter what comes your way, that you're going to be able to filter every thought on your head that comes to your mind with the thought that God loves me. What's His Word say? What's His purpose for my life? What's the Bible say about health? What's the Bible say about peace? What's the Bible say about rest? What's the Bible say about joy? What's the Bible say about loving my neighbor? What does it say? So that no matter what weapon comes against me, no matter what thought or strategy or plot or deceit comes against you, that you'll have your helmet of salvation on your head that says I'm saved, there's safety for me, there's preservation for me, there's soundness of mind for me, there's deliverance for me. That's why we read stories like in Acts chapter 13, and Peter is asleep in prison, and just the next day, the king was going to have him come out and be killed, and he's asleep. He's not worrying. He's not fretful. So much that an angel comes into prison and kicks him on the side and wakes him up. How could the brother be asleep? He's got peace, man. He's got his helmet of salvation on. He knows that God's going to work for him. You need the helmet of salvation. So put it on. Lastly, the very 6th thing. You listened real good this morning. He says, take the sword of the Spirit. Come on, fill in the blank there, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Again, from the Roman analogy, this sword wasn't some 4-foot dragon slayer sword. It was an 18-inch sword. That's the sword that he's talking about. It was an 18-inch sword that the Romans were trained in regularly, that they could be deft at just attacks and kill points. And could I say it this way? They could slice and dice their enemy up. And it's like we see in those kind of movies now, if you watch that kind of stuff, where the dude's standing there and all of a sudden he just falls because he's been like sliced apart. They were clever at taking it and doing attacks with the enemy. So the Bible says here, this is the word that God gave Paul, and Paul writes to this letter to the church, that take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God in the Bible, there's two words for the word word. One is logos, written word, but the other is rhema, which actually means a now word, an exact word, a timely word, a spoken word. In other words, what he's saying here is take the sword of the Spirit, take the sword, take the word of God that God will give you, and God will always give you a word to defeat any enemy that comes into your life, and it will be a now word, a timely word, an exact word, a word that is spoken to your spirit that now you must take and speak through your life yourself to do battle and to defeat the enemy that's coming against you. The Bible says that the Word of God is a living and a powerful thing. The Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Can I tell you? Your tongue is your sword. You speak the Word of God pointedly. You speak the Word of God directly. This is part of your armor that will keep the enemy at bay from your life. But now, you and I, regularly, we've got to be conscious. And we've got to take up the armor. And we've got to put on the armor. Because there is an evil day that will always try to come. Always. And if we don't do this, we will not be successful to stand against. So let me just ask you. Come on, bow your head right there while you're sitting. How successful have you been lately? How successful? Are the thoughts that you're battling with been thoughts you've been dealing with for month after month, maybe year after year? Have you got your truth around your waist? Are you committed? Are you girded? Are you girded? How about the breastplate of righteousness? Are you battling? Are you battling that? Gosh, I don't know if God will really like me, really love me. I've done some things that are really bad. Have you got peace on your feet? Peace between you and God. Tranquility. Not upset, not frustrated, not agitated. You're not disturbed. Get your shield of faith? You have faith in God? How's that? Is there a bunch of missiles or arrows or darts coming in attacking you? And it's weakening you. Come on, take your shield of faith. You got the helmet of salvation. You realize what's been provided for you, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How about the Word of God? Are you looking around going, man, where's my sword? Where's my sword? How quickly can you quote the Scripture? Where that's that now word. That's a now word. Where something comes up and you're quick to say, this is what God says. No weapon formed against me will prosper. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. I'm right with God. I have peace with God by and through Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord's my strength. I take every thought captive, make it obey Christ. Come on, the sword of the Spirit's the Word of God. Father, I just pray for every one of us in the room today that we will build our lives just like you showed and gave us a great illustration from Nehemiah. There's always going to be a Sanballat and a Tobiah and a Geshem and a Noadiah and a Ammonite and an Ashdodite and the Arabs or all these other entities trying to come against us. All these thoughts, all these words that aren't just natural, they're supernatural, they're spiritual. Things that are happening in the earth. because the enemy's loosed. Jesus, we know from your word, you defeated the devil. So we're not trying to gain victory. We are enforcing the victory. We're not pulling back. We're moving forward and taking territory. Not only for our own life and our own families, but for our city, the places we work. We're moving forward in prayer. The strategies, the armor, so we can pray effectively and take a stance and push back darkness. Father, I pray for our country that we would have righteous rule and reign. We pray for our country and our leaders. We pray in our state of California, our county, San Diego, our city in which we live in here, in Chula Vista, those cities that are represented. The body of Christ would rise up and take our place in prayer, the armor of God. Father, we thank you that victory was ensured to Nehemiah. And the wall got built. The wall got built. So, Father, we thank you that our wall, the wall of our lives, our families, the ministry you've called us to, will be built. And we thank you that by the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be displayed to principalities and powers in the heavenly realm. The church of Jesus Christ is rising up to take their authority in place. And we're part of that. So we thank you. We will take up our armor and we will put on our armor and we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Come on, everybody agree with that? Just said amen and amen. Come on, say it again. Amen and amen. Come on, amen and amen. Come on, stand up, everybody. Would you do that this morning? Prayer partners, come on up here. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that's the most important thing that you can do today. That's the most important thing. That's the first thing.